We're going to go around the world in a few minutes with three members of President Obama's cabinet. They are in South Asia, Asia, and the Arabian Peninsula. Defense Secretary Robert Gates is in China today, and Vice President Joe Biden is on the move, as is Secretary of State Hillary Clinton. Let's first go to Oman. Mark Lendler, diplomatic correspondent for our partner, The New York Times, is at the airport in Oman waiting for Secretary Hillary Clinton, who's meeting with the Sultan there. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning.
The Clinton made a surprise visit to Yemen yesterday. She's touring touring for the next 4 days there. What is her agenda for this trip?
Well, the agenda is it's fairly broad. She's meeting with a number of different countries to discuss typical regional issues, including the Iranian nuclear threat. The trip to Yemen was interesting because she basically wanted to go there to send the message that the U.S. is interested in having a relationship with Yemen that goes beyond merely counterterrorism and security. We're interested also in helping Yemen with economic development, political reform, and so forth. So in a way, it was an effort to try to balance the U.S. relationship with Yemen a little more away from purely counterterrorism.
And was it security reasons that made it a surprise visit in Yemen?
Yes. She's the first Secretary of State to visit Yemen since James Baker in 1990 and the most senior administration official from any administration in quite a long time. And the security situation in Yemen is viewed as dangerous enough that they didn't want to broadcast this trip. And so, you know, as often happens when the secretary goes to Iraq or Afghanistan or even Pakistan, these visits are generally unannounced and relatively secret.
And that is New York Times diplomatic correspondent Mark Lendler. He's at the airport waiting for Secretary Hillary Clinton.
The Obama administration might want to be a bit more public about the meeting between Secretary of State Robert Gates and high-level military officials in Beijing. That meeting is winding up. We go now to Beijing with Martin Patience, the BBC Beijing correspondent. The historical detail here is that despite all kinds of high-level meetings between the U.S. and China, this is the first high-level defense-to-defense meeting between the two nations since the year 2000. What was accomplished here, Martin?
Well, Robert Gates, he spent the last 3 days in China. He's actually just moved on in the last few hours to Tokyo as part of a regional trip. But you're right in pointing out that military ties between the two countries have been difficult, particularly in recent years. And the very fact that Robert Gates is here signals a change. It signals that America wants to engage with China and China wants to engage with America. There are American concerns, however. There are concerns over China's military modernization program. When Robert Gates was here, China tested out its there was a test flight for its stealth fighter. That was the first time that had happened. And there's continued concern over North Korea. Speaking yesterday, Robert Gates said that North Korea could develop an intercontinental ballistic missile capable of hitting the US within the next 5 years. And I think it was significant he mentioned that in China, because what America wants China to do more of is pressure North Korea, China being Pyongyang's only major ally.
Certainly, and North Korea being a part of the top agenda item there between the Secretary of Defense Gates meetings with Beijing defense officials. Martin Patience, BBC Beijing correspondent. We should note the irony that China's stealth fighter was announced with much public, no stealth about the announcement.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's for sure.
The opposite of secret. Let's go back east to Pakistan. Vice President Joe Biden is meeting government officials and military leaders there today. And the BBC's Aleem Maqbool is in Islamabad. Good morning, Aleem.
Yes, good morning.
So what is the purpose of Vice President Biden's visit to Pakistan? Is it, as most people would assume, to encourage them to take more steps against extremists in the country?
Yes, there'll certainly be a lot of that around, but he will be welcomed, I think, by the civilian government, at least. He's been a big advocate of helping out countries like Pakistan, particularly Pakistan, in terms of civilian aid. So the civilian government, the prime minister and the president who he'll be meeting will certainly welcome him. I think the military will be much warier, because the military's come under increasing criticism from the White House in recent months for not doing enough to clamp down on these safe havens along the Pakistan-Afghanistan border on the Pakistani side for Taliban militants who go across the border, attack coalition forces, and then can melt back over the border here in here in Pakistan into the tribal areas and remain safe. So there'll be a tough message, but also we expect more civilian aid to be announced as well.
Well, I mean, how is this playing out in terms of the media covering his visit there? There's certainly a troubled relationship between the U.S. and the government, but there's also a bit of a trouble between the U.S. and the citizens of Pakistan as well.
Yes, I mean, that's been long running. I mean, there is a historical mistrust that exists in this relationship between Pakistan and the U.S. It goes back, really, a lot of people put it down to the time after they were both fighting the Soviets together in Afghanistan. And then the feeling was, once the job was done, Pakistan was left high and dry by the United States. And actually, people like Hillary Clinton have acknowledged that that has perhaps been a mistake in the past. And that's why there's been a little bit of a split as well about what to do when coalition forces do finally leave Afghanistan. There are many members of the Pakistani public who feel that coalition forces' presence in Afghanistan is the root of a lot of the problems. But a lot of the administration, they are worried that once those coalition forces leave Afghanistan, the kind of aid, the kind of support that we've seen from Washington for the administration here will dry up, and maybe once again Pakistan will be left high and dry. So lots of debate about whether actually they want coalition forces to leave earlier or later.
And we've also heard some talk that the United States might be increasing aid to Pakistan and not putting any strings on that in terms of fighting terrorists either. That's Ali Makbul, a correspondent in Islamabad with our partner, the BBC. Thanks so much. Back at home, President Obama heading to Tucson, Arizona. He'll address the nation there, still shocked by the shooting tragedy of this weekend that left six dead. But we want to know, how important do you think a presidential speech is after a tragedy like this one? Give us a call at 877-8-MY-TAKE, or you can text the word START to 69866.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.